Father, I thank you so much for all that you've given to us. Lord, my prayer now is that you would just use me, that you would speak through me this morning, that you would reach everyone in this room this morning. Father, that there would be a self-examination of our life and what we're allowing in. Lord, what we're producing. May your Holy Spirit have free reign in here this morning with each and every one of us. May we be open to receive what you have for us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Last week, I know many of you were here and you heard my confessions on self-control, self-discipline, on the words we use and the food we eat and the way that we spend our money. So how'd y'all do this week? Did you have self-control? Did you do pretty good this week? You know, I had a pretty good week till Thursday. And Thursday I had jury duty and that was long and boring, and I tried to keep a good attitude, but I left and went straight to Gino's Pizza, and that was the end of it, okay? So I didn't have a very, very good day starting Thursday, but today, I'm trying to get back and get better. I sent Amanda the verses, but we're going to begin in Romans 7, and the title of the message this morning is, what seeds are you allowing into your life? What seed are you allowing into your life? And the reason I'm going to try and start saying every title of every message is I'll try and get the link in the bulletin, but Tim and his daughter have set us up this really, really awesome website. And they went back and put all my sermons from the last year in there, and even Kyle's sermon from last year, and they're getting it all set up. But we're going to have a link, we'll see how it goes. We may end up having to change and do a few different things to it. But I think Tim's been recording the sermons for probably about 3 years, somewhere in there, 2 or 3 years. But it's been a lot of work, and I really appreciate all that they're doing. It's kind of a scary thing, but it's also kind of exciting. You know, I wrote a devotional around Christmas time, and it was kind of neat. I don't have any social media or anything, but I wrote this devotional, and I had people from Fort Smith and stuff come to me that I had no idea had even seen it and start bringing it up and talking to me. So I do see the benefit of how being on social media, being on the internet, that we can reach more people for the kingdom of God. And so, but anyway, Romans 7 is where we're going to begin. Romans 7, verse 15. And the Bible says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Y'all ever feel that way? What you want to do, you don't do, but what you hate, you do. You're not alone if you feel that way, because sometimes in my life, that's right where I am. I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, and I don't stop myself, and I let the flesh get the better part of me, and I have these thoughts, and I have these things in my mind, in my heart, and I'm like, where did this come from? Why do I have that? Why do I have this feeling? Verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I want y'all to think about that, about the sin living inside of you, and how many of us have battled sin on and off and on and off for years. It seems like even after we've become Christians, and there's this constant influence in our life of sin and the battle. Verse 18, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. I felt this battle in myself for years. The good that I desire to do, but the evil that comes. Verse 21, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See right there, all that we've just talked about, all that we've said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have victory. We can overcome. And for so many of us, why is this so true that there's a war raging inside of us of sin, and it just keeps coming and it keeps coming? And you know, last week we talked about self-control, and how many of you had self-control this week? How many of you had victory in your life? How many of you thought about that message and you lived it out in your tongue, in your food, in your finances? Did it really penetrate? Did it really work? Or was that sin just there? Coming at you, ready to fail, ready to stumble. What good? What's going on inside of all of us? You know, we can put on the fancy exterior and get all dressed up and look nice and do our hair, some of y'all can, and do our makeup and get all looking good, and but we're sitting here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and we're not all right. And that the things that we want to do, we're not doing. And the sin continues to creep up and creep up. And we battle and we battle and we battle. We go to Galatians chapter 6. I'm not trying to be negative this morning. I'm trying to get us someplace, okay? Galatians 6 verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And see, right here, I believe, is so much of the key of why we stumble, why we fail, is what are we sowing? What are we sowing into our hearts? What are we sowing into our lives? Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. Are we sowing to please the sinful nature? Or are we sowing to please the Spirit? From the sinful nature, we'll reap destruction. But from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And I just keep going back to all the things that I've sown in my life, good and bad, and they seem to grow and sprout up. And I'm like, I don't even know where this thought has come from. I don't even know where this thing has come from. But I look back at my life, at the things that I've sown, the things that I've done, and I go back and forth and back and forth. And I have to think, what am I allowing into my life now? What is being sown into my life now? What am I feeding? What is growing inside of me? Why do I keep going back? Why is this battle so real? We're going to go to Matthew 13 now. In Matthew 13, and this is a very familiar text to most of us, but it's the parable of the four soils. And as we begin to read this, I want you to think about this in two different ways, okay? The parable of the four soils is talking about good seed, but I also want you to think about the bad seed that many of us have sown into our lives and see how it can grow, how it can be cultivated. Matthew 13 verse 1, it says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on the good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. I want y'all to think about this, okay, for just a minute, and then we're going to go to the good seed. But I want you to think about the bad seed sown in your life, okay? Maybe over your life you've had struggles, you've had battles, You've watched things you shouldn't have watched. You've participated in things you shouldn't have participated in. You've taken things into your body that you shouldn't have taken in. You've done all these things. And I want you to think about the things that we're even taking in now. Evil. Is it landing on good soil? Because you're open to it? Because you're receptive to it? Because you kind of are playing with this sin a little bit? You hadn't really given it to Jesus. Is this making sense at all this morning? See, because when that seed lands on good soil, it's going to begin to produce. That's what we just read in Galatians. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. And what you're sowing is going to be produced. And if it's to the sinful nature, it's evil, it's death, and it's destruction. If it's to the Spirit, then it's eternal life, and it's a righteous life. But where I'm trying to get this morning, for myself, going back to last week, the self-control and the self-discipline is, but what am I sowing? And if I'm sowing bad seed, and I'm kind of playing with it a little bit, then that's going to be what's pre-produced in me. And then you go back to the first scriptures I read in Romans. I do the things that I don't want to do. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Because it's bad seed being planted in me. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? It's the bad seed being planted. And we might say, oh, it's not good soil here. But when you're thinking about that, and you're just a little bit enticed, you have a thought, you stare too long, you have a thought about this too much, you know, the lust of the flesh, the you know, whether it's the opposite sex, someone other than your husband or your wife, whether it's material things, I'd like this car, I'd like this house, I'd like that, you know, and all these things, and we'll sit there and we'll just, oh, I'm really not hurting anybody. But what's happening is that seed's landing on good soil. And then you go back to, I do the things that I don't want to do because that's what's being planted. Okay? But now let's go back to the good things that we should be planting. Y'all, this parable here is very, very real to me because I've seen so many people come and sit in this church. And you can see this parable being played out in their lives. It being choked out. It them not having any roots. And you can see the ones that it's landed on good soil and they've stayed and they begin to produce fruit themselves. Let's jump down to verse, where are we at? 16. I lost my place here. 18. Jump down to 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. I want you to think about that as how often do you forget the sermon by Sunday afternoon? Do you forget it by Monday morning? By Tuesday, you don't even remember it at all. It's funny. I've shared this before. Tim's oftentimes will say something, and when we missed because of the snow and ice, Tim had missed the Sunday before because he was out of town, and he had texted me. I I listened to your sermon from last week, so we still had church. Good sermon. And I thought, what did I preach on? I couldn't even remember. I couldn't remember what I'd preached on the week before. It's really bad when someone puts me on the spot and says, do you remember what you talked about? And I'm like, no, I can't. And then they'll say something, and then all at once it'll come rushing back. But I think about that for you guys. You know, I've studied this usually a minimum of at least two times before I get up here and preach. So I know what the Holy Spirit has given me. You guys are just hearing it once. So I think if it escapes me, how quickly it can escape you. But I want you to think that how that's the devil coming and trying to steal. He's trying to steal the good seed being planted in you this morning. Verse 20. The one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places is a man who hears a word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. That one breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because how many people have we seen come to this church? And they might be here a few weeks, they might be here a few months. And then all at once a rough patch happens. A rough patch happens in their life or in their home or at work or maybe somebody said something that they just didn't quite like here at church or there's a million reasons, and what happens? They leave. And they never come back. Why? Because they had no root. They weren't established. And you can go back to the, was more bad seed being sown in them or was there more good seed? It breaks my heart because I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears a word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. Y'all, this is, we can look around and we can examine ourselves right now and say, do I fit in any of these categories? Is the evil one coming and snatching away? My heart is so hard. Is this message landing in a rocky place where I have no root and there's nothing really established in my life because I'm not studying the Word, I'm not praying, I'm not seeking God on my own? Or is it the cares and the worries of this life? And can I tell you something? The cares and the worries and the deceitfulness of this life, choking it out, that can be so many things. I've seen it. And I know I harp on this, and I'm sorry for all y'all that's heard me for years harp on this, but, you know, my kids played sports. Sports was great for my family. I made friends. I met people from other towns. I was at a basketball game this year at Hackett and watching Ethan play, and one of the old refs come and shook my hand, and he remembered me as being a Christian and at the ball fields, and I got to visit with him. Sports is a great thing, but I've seen the deceitfulness of it because I've also seen where it's destroyed men of God. One man in particular, he was driving the church van, he was teaching the youth, he was doing all these great things for the kingdom of God, and his son started playing traveling baseball. And he just started missing a Sunday here or there. But then, before long, he was missing all baseball season. And you know what? All the other parents that was on that traveling team, they didn't think it was a big deal to have a drink. You know, after a long day at the ball fields, let the kids jump in the swimming pool and they crack open their beer and they'd sit around. Didn't think it was any big deal. So he started, oh, it's not a big deal. That man's an alcoholic now and in and out of church, back and forth, over and over and battling. You think that Satan didn't play a part in that? He had his hand right in it. The deceitfulness of the world, the deceitfulness of, oh, this isn't really going to hurt us. This really isn't going to cause that big a problem. What's the big deal? We have to be so careful. What seed are we planting in us? What are we teaching our children? Is it good seed? Is it bad seed? Verse 23, though. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Church, we go back to the Romans. Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? The battle that wages war inside of so many of us each and every day. And we want to do right, but we're doing evil. I'm telling you, let's go back to what are we sowing into our lives? Is it God? Is it the Word of God? Is it prayer? Is it something that is penetrating our heart? Are we reading? Are we listening? Are we allowing God's Word to land on good soil here? Is it crowded out by the world? Is it crowded out by all the garbage and all the junk that we put in there? Oh, this is a personal message for me this morning. Because Romans 7 is real to me. God, why do I do this? Why did I just say that? Why did I just act that out? Why did I allow that thought to meditate until it took hold of me? The problem is what I'm sowing. What I'm allowing into my life. It's not the Word of God. It's not time alone in prayer. It's not listening to good sermons. It's hearing the world and it's giving in to the fleshly desires. You know, we want to be different. We want to be Christians that are shining a light. We want to be producing a good crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. We got to be careful what we're putting in. We got to be careful what's being planted. Have we allowed God to sow good seed into our hearts? Psalms 25, 4 and 5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." I think that if we really prayed this prayer and we really said this verse and we said, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your path, guide me in your truth and teach me." If we live that out day after day, how many of us would live our lives different? We'd be cutting off some of the garbage that we're allowing in from the TV, from the radio, from the influences that we're hanging out with at work to... Have any of y'all ever tilled a garden, tilled up the soil? I'm not a gardener, but I've seen it done. And there's outside of between Labaca and Charleston, there was this huge field a couple years ago, and it was a good looking field. I didn't know what they was doing, and I drove past it two or three times a week. And one day I drove past it, and they had tilled it all up, and there was huge rocks everywhere. And I thought, why would they do that? But then they went in and they picked up all those rocks. And then they went back and tilled again. What happens when you keep tilling the soil? You get rocks, but there gets to be less and less, right? And before long, well, some places you get less. But before long, you got a good soil that you can plant in. I want y'all to think about the Word of God being the tiller in our hearts. And it's like sometimes when the Word of God begins to till and there's those big rocks, that's the big sins that come up. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of this. And God's showing us. And how do we get rid of it? It's by confessing it as sin. It's by repenting. It's asking God to forgive us and turning our back on it. But then, the closer you get to the Lord, what happens? He keeps tilling. And then there's the littler rocks that are coming up and the littler rocks that are coming up. But we keep tilling by the Word of God, asking God to forgive, asking God to take away. And before long, we keep reading the Word of God and there's going to be good soil here that's going to plant good seed. and then it's going to produce that good crop. But I think about my yard, and I've picked up so many rocks in that stupid yard. And what's crazy about my yard is I'll have every rock picked up, and I'll go to mow. And what? Where did that rock come from? And there goes my lawnmower blade, or breaking a belt, or it's like, where did the rock even come from? And it grass everywhere, big rock. Did somebody come and throw that in there? Did someone come plant that in my yard? It's like it's there to just irritate me. And I think about that though, and I think how Satan is trying to cast rocks. Trying to cast that sin back into our lives where we've done the work, where we've tilled it up. And what? Here comes Satan. Remember this, Pete? Remember that? Look at this. Here's that. Boy, that sure would make you feel good. Boy, what about this? But in the end, that rock is just causing destruction. It's just causing damage. And that's what sin will do to our life, is it's just going to cause destruction. It's just going to cause damage. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. The devil, or your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's throwing all the time. He's throwing all the time, trying to destroy, trying to hurt. Matthew 13:24 says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also came up. The owner's servant came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. An enemy did this. Y'all, that's what's going on with so many of us. The enemy is coming and he's trying to sow those weeds and he's trying to sow destruction into our life. We talked about self-control last week. Many of us forgot the sermon before Monday, or maybe we remembered it. But by the end of the week, it was gone. I hope that's not the case for everyone. But I see it happen so often because the enemy is constantly trying to sow the weeds in our life. He's constantly trying to sow a stumbling block into our life. So my question to you is, what are you allowing in your life? What seeds are you allowing into your life? Is it the good seed landing on good soil to produce righteousness, or is it the bad seed landing in good soil to produce wickedness? You think about that and you say, Pete, what are you talking about? Bad seed landing in good soil. Because sometimes our heart wants that, we desire that evil, and the bad seed lands in that. And the sin is fun for a season, but in the end it leads to death. And for many of us, we really need to examine and say, God, what am I allowing into my life? And is it good or is it bad? Is it... I'm going to end with reading the Galatians 6 again. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What have you been sowing? What have you been allowing to be sown into your body? Who will rescue us from this body of death, we read in Romans? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Y'all, this isn't a message saying there's no hope. This is a message of victory. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have victory in those areas. But if you've been stumbling, if you've been falling, and it seems to be the same old thing, no matter what you're doing, you went from this church to that church, you've listened to this preacher, you've listened to that preacher, you've done all these things, but maybe we just need to go back to the most basic is, what are we allowing? What are we consuming? What are we taking in? Is it good seed? Is it bad seed? Through Jesus Christ, we can have victory. We can be the self-controlled people that I talked about last week. We can be bearing the fruit of the Spirit each and every day. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, You know how my heart breaks for so many that I see lost. So many that I've seen, Father, that I thought, Lord, that they were going to be good soil. But the cares of this life, the worries, they had no root. Whatever it is, they've been choked out. They've been lost. They went back to the world. They went back to the worldly system, and they've abandoned You, Father. How it breaks my heart. But I pray, Lord, everybody listening this morning, that we would not be those people that fall away. We would not be those people that shrink back. Father, that we would establish some roots. Reading Your Word, praying, seeking You. Father, that we would take stock of our life right now and that we would think about what have we been allowing in. Lord, that You would reveal to us the areas of our life that we need to cut out. Lord, that we would recognize that we have an enemy that's always prowling around looking for ways to destroy us, looking for ways to deceive us, looking for ways to cause us to stumble. Father, may we be alert. Lord, give us wisdom. And Father, I pray for victory. Victory for every one of us. Lord, that sin would no longer reign in our bodies, but we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. That we would hunger and thirst for You each and every day. And that You would give us victory. Lord, I pray right now that Your tiller would just go to work. And those sins that have taken a deep root into our lives, those sins that maybe from the time we were young men, young women, the time from when we were teenagers, Lord, that a sin may have established in us and taken root. Father, I pray right now that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would begin to till that up and pull that out. Lord, that we would have victory. We would no longer stumble. We would no longer fail because of the power that we have through You, Lord Jesus. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Y'all don't get in a hurry this morning, but if you've struggled, if you've stumbled, maybe you've just had something that you're battling. Maybe you haven't given in to it yet, but it just seems to be a continual battle. Just seek God this morning. Seek His Holy Spirit. The altars are open if you need prayer for anything.
At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross.
I just want to encourage each one of you. I guess just because I've seen it happen so often, there's some fear in me. Fear of seeing people fall away. And y'all, hold on to Jesus with everything that you have. Even if life is tough, know that we're small here, but I pray we all can grow old together and be a family that loves each other. There's a preacher I listen to, and he, James McDonald, and I listen to him sometimes, and he said that growing up, every 3 or 4 years, they'd have a different preacher. Preacher'd leave. And he said he remembered how much seeing that hurt his parents and how much it even hurt him. And he said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you tell me to do, anywhere in the world. But he said, I pray, Lord, wherever you put me, that you leave me so that I can become a family with the people. There's a lot of truth to what he's saying there of just not bailing on each other, not just running out on each other, but being established. But the last thought, I was out messing around in the yard yesterday, cutting some limbs and a tree that fell, and just working in the yard a little bit. And our back patio is all concrete. You know what I got coming up in my patio? Just little looking weeds. In the middle of concrete. How does that even happen? There must have been some seed. Something washed up. And those weeds are growing where they shouldn't be. Y'all be careful in your life that you don't have a crack. You don't have a spot in your heart that the enemy can wash in that bad seed and the weed begin to grow inside of you where it has no business being. We are children of God now. We have no business playing with the things of this world and the sin. The enemy's throwing and he's trying to plant. Through Jesus Christ, we can have victory. So let's walk in victory this week. Communion tonight, 6:30. Have a blessed afternoon.